Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Good morning. Good morning so far, yeah? Yeah. Exciting. We're in an amazing time with God, I believe. In one sense, you can look at what's going on across the nations and just think, this doesn't look very exciting. This looks terrible and terrifying. But our God is on the move. Amen. And in everything that's going on, God is saving. God is delivering his people. God is on the move. And I just want to share for a few minutes sort of the journey that we're, Clive and I have been on, and that we're all in at the moment, because it's all of us. When we went to, we know we had our breakaway, and we said we would share with you guys what God was doing when we went to, we went away for 6 weeks. So first of all, we went to Israel. And last year, this time last year, we really felt God say to us that we would start our 6 weeks in Israel, because originally we were going to spend the whole time in the States. We weren't sure why, but we just felt, okay, we're going to spend the first week of work, week or two of June, in Israel. And then this time last year, we were invited to a presidential prayer breakfast in Jerusalem. And it's the first one of its kind. And you know, when you're involved in a first to do with Jerusalem or Israel, you know it's God. And you know it's something important is going on, okay? But you also feel, how, why us, who are we, what are we doing here, and all the rest of it, yeah? Anyway, so we, our time in Israel and in the States, we were left with, we had this impression of a sense of urgency. We'd been hearing earlier on through the year that now is the time, okay? When we were in Jerusalem, it was the 50th anniversary of Jerusalem being Jerusalem back in Jewish hands. Okay, that's a massive anniversary, if you like. We know there's been Jews in that land for thousands and thousands of years, but for it to be back in their hands for 50 years was like a time to celebrate, a time to honor what God did, because he said he would bring the people back to the land. Amen? Are you with me? Time is in God's hands. We know it's God's time. Okay? When we look at Israel and we look at Jerusalem, you know that God is doing something about his place and his people and in the nations. The sense of being at an event like that, where the prayer breakfast was over a couple of days, and there were like 550 men and women from all the nations there praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And that was with Israeli MPs, and we were in the parliament praying and worshipping in there, as well as hearing practical stuff about Jerusalem and all coming together. It was just a sense that God was doing something. And that left us, and he's spoken some things to us that we really feel that that's going to be ongoing, that event, but also that he was going to be establishing more prayer breakfasts in the nations in terms of honouring Israel, honouring Jerusalem, honouring what God is doing there. Okay, so we're in the process of unpacking some stuff that God spoke to us practically to be doing, to do with Jerusalem itself, but also over here. Okay, when God asks us to do that, that's not just Clive and I. That is us as a body being involved in something God is doing that is key for this nation, and it's key for Israel. Okay, this is really, you know, it's a really important time. We also had this sense of urgency to do with souls, because God wants the nation saved. Amen. He wants the nation saved. He wants this nation saved. He wants the Jewish people saved. If he's ramping up what he's doing in Israel and Jerusalem in terms and in the nations, where he's bringing the Jewish people home, where he's calling them home, where he's gathering them, if he's doing that, people are going to be saved all over the nations at this time, as well as the Jewish people. Okay, we're in that time where he was speaking about not being ashamed of the gospel. not being ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And that's in Romans 1:16. God was speaking that to us personally, that I would not be ashamed and I would not be embarrassed about Jesus, about speaking his name, about speaking out for him, whatever I'm doing. I don't mean on a platform, I mean just one-on-one, face-to-face with somebody in Sainsbury's. And, you know, to my shame, I do back off. I do think about it and then not do it. But God is challenging me, the Holy Spirit is challenging me and all of us, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, but it is a power that of God to save here, Gentiles and the Jews, wherever they are, and they're amongst us. You may not know they're there, and we're going to hear a little story from Jugbeer in a little while of what God's been doing in her workplace. It's time for Jesus to be seen. It's time for Jesus to be seen. When we talk about seeing the glory of God in our midst, the glory of God is Jesus. It is Jesus manifest, okay? And it's time that he wants to be seen. One of the scriptures that I've been in is in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, the chapters 13 to 15, where David knew it was time for the ark, for the presence of God to be brought back center stage to Israel. Okay, and in that process, he gathered all of Israel to Jerusalem for that time, for that event. And God is saying to us, it's time for my glory to be back, center place in Israel. Okay, he wants to be seen. He's going to start revealing himself. And in that, he gathers Israel. In Florida, there's like 500,000 Jewish people who are being battered as we speak over the last few weeks. In Puerto Rico, that was wrecked the other day, most of the Jews that live in the Caribbean live in Puerto Rico, and they've been obliterated. There's nothing else. I'm not just talking about just Jewish people. Everyone's been obliterated. But if anybody's gonna choose to go back to Israel, it may be because they've lost everything where they are. And unfortunately, they are the days that we are in. Okay, God is moving in everything. In all the shakings that are going on, God is moving. God has given us this mandate, Kingdom Faith, to stand with Israel and to speak about Israel, his heart for the Jewish people to see them saved. It's part of who we are and what we do. In the Bible College, at Faith Camp, here, it's not something we talk about all the time, but it's there, it's in who we are, because it's in the heart of God, amen? It's in his word. And one of the things, when we shifted from Israel to the States, one of the things God wanted us to do was, we started off in California, our son lives there with his wife, and our granddaughter, and we were going to see them. And then we were shifting across the country. We went from West Coast to East Coast. And we did a drive for a bit. We had some time, and then we went to a Bethel conference. But we went to San Francisco, where there is a huge group of Jewish people. And God was speaking about praying there and calling them home. So we did that. We ended up, went from San Francisco, ended up in New York, and in between, praying. And outside of Israel, the biggest group of Jewish people is in the States, and it's in New York, in Brooklyn. And we went to those places, and I blew my shofar, and we prayed, and we called them home. You got to do what God tells you to do. It may seem foolish, but God said, you're calling them home. And since then, stuff's been going on. We don't know what when God asks us to do what he asks us to do, it's a strategy in the spirit. These are spiritual things that we have to hear and do, and he does the rest, amen? The rest is up to him. When we were in the States, the whole time we were away, stuff was kicking off here, back here in the UK, yeah? We had the attack in London, we had the attack in Manchester, the Grenfell fire happened, so many lives ruined, traumatized, wrecked forever in one sense. And we were watching this from afar and praying. I think I prayed more being away than I do when I'm here, when I'm in it. It was odd. Just such a heart for this nation. Watching what was going on, hearing what was happening, reading the news reports, hearing all the negativity, all the fear. And when I was there, I just it just God just was just speaking to me how the enemy was trying to shut this nation down. Okay, how he wanted to come on this nation with fear, with intimidation, and you know, this nation used to have an empire that ruled and reigned. Okay. And we don't have that anymore. And we've sort of like, Great Britain has got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, okay? I was at an event a couple of years ago, David's Tent. Some of you may have been there. The worship event that happens down here, down Whiston Estate every summer. And there was a point in one of the worship sessions, I think, I can't remember which band it was that were playing. But during that time, as it was sort of just flowing with a spirit after a song, this guy, I don't think he's even English, was playing the violin, and all of a sudden he started to play Rule Britannia. Okay, now what happened was, I don't know the words to Rule Britannia. All I know is the end bit: we never, never, never shall be slaves. If you read the words, they're actually amazing, but the English is so old, I thought I'm not going to bother doing that up here, because you'll be like, what? Basically, it's about Britain ruling and reigning, okay, standing up as an army and being blessed as a nation. But when this guy started playing this song, the noise, the sound in the room that just erupted from like 4,000 young people declaring Britain will not be slaves, okay. And this was the year, I think it was the year before Brexit vote. And when we were singing and declaring, in my spirit, I felt we're coming out of Europe. There's something about this nation that needs to stand back on its two feet. It has a mandate and a calling from God, okay? And God was speaking to me when I was in the States about this nation. And stuff gets released in our nation. And God was saying, no more. As a church, you have got to see what's going on. And you've got to stand up and you've got to be praying. And you've got to be saying, no, we are not going to have this in our nation. And the whole Christianity of our nation has been eroded to the point where people say this no longer is a Christian nation. God says something different over this nation. Amen. This nation carried the gospel in its DNA right back from 1200 and something or other, apparently. Christian nation in our DNA that God wants to draw back up again for us to stand up as a mighty army, okay? The enemy wants to shut this nation down. It wants to shut our voice down so that we don't preach the gospel. We don't stand up in our calling, to shut us down and shut us up. And I, for one, have got to start opening my mouth. I don't know about you. God was like, no, you guys, church, my church in the UK, we can stand up. We can have a different spirit to what is trying to come and oppress us, okay? So being in the US, the Lord started speaking to me about a different spirit. So I want us to turn to Numbers 13, if you've got your Bibles. You know, and I've done this myself in the past, you know, you can talk about, sorry if there's any Americans here or listening. It's all right, I have an American daughter-in-law and granddaughter now, so I could get away with it. But anyway, you know, we can talk about Americans being loud and over the top and domineering, and they're just excessive and all this kind of thing. And we talk like that over here about them because we pretty sort of, we just do that, don't we? And I've done it in the past. But when I was in the States, God rebuked me and he took me to Numbers 13. And he was talking about having this different attitude and a different faith and a different confession, okay? And in Numbers 13, Moses and all the people, the Israelites, are on the border of going into the promised land, okay? God's given them this land. He said, I've given it to you, it's yours. They wanted to go and spy it out, which was probably not a good idea. But anyway, they went to spy out the land, and they chose leaders from all the tribes that went in. And Numbers 13, 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them. And God took me there, and he said to me, now who is over the top in their sizes of portions? I said, God, you are. But a bunch of grapes on a pole between two blokes. Has anybody seen that before? Has anybody here seen that? I've never seen that, okay? Nothing like it. A bunch of grapes on a pole between two blokes. That's God's fruitfulness. That's God's over the top blessing his people, saying, this is what's there for you guys, abundance, fruitfulness, that size. And he really nailed me. Don't speak about them as being excessive and over the top in their portions, because I am the one who's excessive, God said. I'm the one who blesses. I am the one who's over the top, extravagant in giving. Do you get it? So he was rebuking me, and then he got me to read the rest of the story. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol cluster because of the cluster which the Israelites cut down. And they returned from scouting out the land after 40 days. They came to Moses and Aaron and to all the Israelite congregation in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh and brought them word and showed them the land's fruit. Okay, so they came with this report of how amazing it was. They said to Moses, we came to the land which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Okay, so they were there, like, yes, what God said is there. This is for us. It's right. It's here. Look at this fruit. It's right here. But they said, and this can be so easily be us, can't it? We know what God has promised. We know there's amazing things. The kingdom of God wants to be released. But so easily we can speak a but and say, but the people who dwell there are strong. And the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak of great stature and courage. That's basically giants in the land, okay? Amalek dwells in the land. That's their enemy. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanite dwells by the sea, along by the side of the Jordan River. So straight away they come in with, this is why we can't do this. Because there's giants in the land. There's obstacles. There's things we've got to do. That means a fight. And it's like, we're not prepared to do it. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. Let us go at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. Can you say that? We are well able. Sound like an Essex person. We are well able. But his fellow scout said, we are not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land which they had scouted out. This is the leaders. This is the leaders saying, no, we can't do this. Spreading an evil report, spreading negativity. Oh, woe is me. We can't do this. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Blah, blah, blah. So they didn't go in. They didn't go in because of a negative report. They didn't go and take the land. And it goes in verse chapter 14. And all the congregation cried out with a loud voice and they wept. I mean, talk about self-pity and fear and, oh no, we can't do this. What are we going to do? All the Israelites grumbled and deplored their situation, accusing Moses and Aaron. Straight away they start accusing and blaming the leaders, to whom the whole congregation said, would that we have died in Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness. I think as half of this nation is about Brexit, isn't it? They just see the negativity rather than what God is speaking over our nation, okay? Verse 24, God then just rebukes the whole nation. Because of that, basically it's unbelief. They don't believe God. They don't trust him. So verse 24, God says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And God was speaking to me about this different spirit. I saw in the States, I saw a people who encourage one another. They're great encouragers. Anybody, not just Christians. I mean, anybody. They are great encouragers. They encourage one another. Complete strangers will encourage one another. If you get on a plane and there's somebody from the services or the forces on the plane, they'll announce their name and people clap and cheer because they honor one another. There's just this different. There's an attitude, and I'm not saying everything about Americans is great, because it's not, okay, but this is just stuff that God was showing me. That's partly why he took us there, showing us a different attitude and a different way, a different sound, if you like. I'm not saying everything they do is brilliant, because it isn't, and I don't agree with everything they do and how they go about things, but the thing is, they fought us to get freedom. Yeah, so they won freedom. They know what freedom is like, so they want other people to have it. Okay, they have this thing about them. It's like, yes, we can do this. Their forces are like, yeah, we can take them. They have this attitude that Britain has lost. Okay, this attitude of faith, this belief in themselves. They have a belief in themselves, and so they will encourage and release that belief in one another, which I think we need in this nation. Amen. We need it in our church, don't we? I need it in my life. I want to be more like it with everybody around me. A belief in you, honor you. Come on, guys, we can do this, yeah? God is speaking about his people rising up in the earth like a vast army. And come, you know, prophesying in Ezekiel 37, come breath of life on your people, blow on us that we stand up, that we wouldn't be like the slain and the besieged, but we would stand up a vast army in this nation, okay? That is God. That's what he has for each one of us, and that's what he wants each one of us to step up into, that we rise up in faith and in boldness to stand with him, to stand and see them more than we can ask or imagine, okay? And what does that look like? We're not talking about, possessing land, because as a church, we want to move out, we want to see people saved. We're not talking about bunches of grapes here, we're talking about households being saved, amen? And that starts with each one of us saying, yes, I can do this. Yes, I have a voice. Yes, I have an anointing. Yes, I have a calling, and we can move out together and see this happen, amen? That we don't listen to the negative reports and go downhill with what's going on in the nation or the nations. We don't spread them, we don't get involved in them, we don't get distracted by them, but we choose, like these guys had a choice. We choose to move forward. We choose today to talk to somebody. We choose today to pray if God says to pray. We choose today to give financially if God says to give. We do what God asks of us to do, amen? Trusting that it's his kingdom working through us and we're going to see results. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. Because they said, if the Lord is with us, was he pleased with us? Well, as believers, we know he's pleased with us. And if you don't, you're going to know it. It's fundamental. We need to know God is pleased with us. You know, one of the things I love about hearing Bill Johnson is because he knows God is pleased. He knows God loves him. He knows God's goodness, and that's what he speaks all the time. God's goodness, God's goodness. That's all you'll ever hear, God's goodness. We need to know God's goodness. We need to know he's pleased with us, because that's fundamental to you stepping out. It's fundamental to every single one of us stepping out in who we are. We have a choice. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul says, a wide door for effective, powerful service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries to withstand. Basically, God was speaking to me about this, but for every single one of us, as individual believers, there is a wide door of opportunity for every single one of us every day, and we choose whether to step through it. We can look at the enemy standing there, and he's going, you can't say that. You can't do that. He stands there, the enemy, and intimidates us. And we have a choice every day. Are we going to go through this door of powerful, effective service that's in front of every single one of us in these days? Are we going to take the bull by the horns and go through it? Or are we going to be intimidated by the enemy and not move? And can you see, if all of us every day are doing this, how as a body we're going to see stuff shift in our 25-mile radius, let alone the nation and the other nations? Are you sensing it in your spirit? Some of you, get in there. When we were at Bethel, we went to a Bethel conference. This is the beginning part of our trip. I had a vision of God dancing over our nation. Well, over the nation, over just dancing, God dancing in heaven. And I was like, and all this stuff was going on in my head about what's going on at home, about, you know, everything. And I was like, God, really? Is that really you? And he said, it's like I'm doing a victory dance. and you need to get involved. And I was like, so anyway, I saw it and I sort of wrote it down in my notebook, you know, like you sort of have to hear things a few times from God to like, God, is this really you? And but the next morning there was a woman giving testimony, and she was saying that she'd suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. And that is a label that more and more they are giving to people because of the trauma that's going on in people's lives and how they can't, they're not getting free, and it's oppressing them, depressing them, they're sick. This woman had shut down. She'd shut down completely, and she was suicidal. There was nothing that could reach her. And she decided, she went to Bethel, and she was in a small group. And there was a woman there who, and they had this on film, there was a woman there she said to this girl, I just feel I need to dance over you. And so they got this girl to sit in the middle of the floor and in the middle of the room. And this girl just danced around this girl as she was sitting on the floor. And she was completely set free. And we watched that video the next morning after I saw God dancing. And he was like, yes, this is me, Jane. Just get it, okay? Now, I'm not a dancer. I'm not a floaty dancer. I don't do much dancing at all, really. And I'm like, I don't know what this looks like. But God's talking about releasing his victory through us, because the only thing that's going to see people set free in this day is Jesus. The only thing that's going to reach into their trauma and their pain and their darkness is Jesus. And God wants himself released. He gets released through us doing what God asks us to do. If he says dance, we dance. If he says sing, we sing. If he says give or shout or jump or blow your horn or whatever, or just practically go to a neighbor, do what God asks, because he wants to be released through us. Does that make sense? It's time for the sons of God to be released. And when we're released, we're going to see release and freedom for others. That's why I love that we're all going through freedom together, freedom course in the church. We've been through it. We've taken a lot of people through it once. We're now taking another bunch of people through this freedom course, because God wants each one of us free. Amen. Anything in our hearts, any darkness, any struggle, any sin, anything we don't understand that causes a blockage, God wants us released from, then he can flow through by us, by his spirit, yeah? He wants us free so we can bring a release in the earth, his way. So exuberant praise. You know, when, so going back to this story where David wanted to gather Israel, we're going to bring the ark, we're going to bring the presence of God back to Israel. Okay, he danced, this is in 15, he danced exuberantly. He danced so wild that his wife took offense. We don't want to be taking offense in these days at something God asks us to do. Because that praise is going to release something. It's going to release something. Okay, he was so excited the glory of God was coming back. And I believe God wants this victory to sat, and it did this morning. It sounds like something, yeah? It sounds like, yes, we believe this. Yes, we can see a miracle. Yes, we can see cancer nailed out of somebody's life. Amen? It sounds like faith. It looks like something. And if it looks like exuberant dancing, then so be it. But it releases the joy and the faith of God. I don't sound like I'm telling you off, do I? So standing firm, this the breath of God coming, standing firm on our feet, a vast army standing up, light shining, because we're reflecting him, yeah, light shining in the darkness. This for me it just requires us to say yes, God. It just requires us to surrender on a deeper level to his working, to his healing grace, to allow joy and praise and power just to come through us more. Holy Spirit strategies. When he wants to breathe on us, because his Holy Spirit strategies, and God will release them. Like I said, this open door. If we're available, there's open doors before every single one of us. That's going to require more. It's going to require more of us. More faith. Okay? It may be giving more financially. It may be praying more. He wants to release prayer strategies to every single one of us, because every single one of us is praying for somebody to be saved, praying for our 25-mile radius, praying for our nation. God wants to release prayer strategies by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's going to look different to how it's looked before. Things are going to look different. You're going to be doing different things, going to different places. It requires courage and boldness. Are you up for it? But it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, yeah? We're not doing it in our own strength. Jugby, can you just jump up here for us? Let's give her a hand coming up. Can you just share with us what sort of happened in the relationship with your boss at work and then her dad?
So my manager is Israeli. She was born there. I'd been praying that God would send excellent workers, and she came along. So I was going to Israel at the time. So in one sense, I didn't do anything. I was just being who I am and just kind of talking from a place of where God's attitude is towards work. So if she wanted me to do something, I would do it. I wouldn't moan and complain. And she could see I was different. Anyway, then I was going to Israel. And she said, why are you going to Israel? Everyone hates Israel. And then I shared what the church's heart is for Israel and so on. And then I went and I came back. And then she just would say to me, you really love Israel. And I never spoke about Israel. I didn't say anything. I didn't say what God's heart was for Israel. Didn't do anything. So it was really bizarre. I was like, yeah, I do love Israel. And I explained why, because of what the Bible says and so on. So that's grown. And there's been moments where she said, God's looking after you. And I've said, yeah, he is. So what made you say that? So the conversation goes on and on. And her father, he was on the kinder transport from Poland to England. And he has no recollection of that journey of his parents or the first 4 years of his life. So she started to tell me about her dad and how he set up a charity for refugee children and has, you know, done lots of good things. Anyway, he's written a book about his life, and he had a book launch in September, a few weeks ago. So I thought, I'm going to go. So before I went, my boss was going to Bali, so I gave her the book, The Jewish Jesus. She's got a long flight. She hasn't got much else to do. So I gave her the book, and I just wrote inside it that something that God's shared is that I will be a voice for the Jewish people and against injustice. So that's my commitment to her and to her people and nations. I wrote that in there. So then I went to the book launch, and it was so inconvenient after a long day's work and different things I'd worked to do that night. But I just set my mind in the morning. I was like, God, this feels so inconvenient, but I'm going regardless of what happens, what I haven't got done. I am going. I set my mind on it. So I went to the book launch and bought his books and gave him tickets to the Royal Albert Hall event on the 7th of November. I bought them the best tickets. I don't even know if they're in the country, but I just gave them because I believe God wants to do something. And as Richard and I have been praying for him, he could see light just coming into him from knowing who Jesus is. And I didn't really do anything, if I'm honest, apart from maybe moan a bit about the inconvenience. But it's just being who you are and who God is, and he does the rest. Yeah. So that was it. Brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks, Jugby. I really believe that God, you know, the more open we are and the more availability we give to God, the more we talk about him or just be light where we are. I know there's Jewish people in our community who are hidden. They will hide that they're Israeli. They may not even know, but God will draw it out of them in our conversations. And this is something God is doing, because we want to share the gospel at work in our place. We want to love. We want to be Jesus. But I also know he wants to bring Jewish people to the front, because he wants them to know about their Messiah, who we have. And so I believe for all of us, those more and more of those opportunities are going to come up. We're going to be surprised at who around us is actually probably Jewish, and they are hiding it. But God wants to reach them, and he knows how to draw them out. He knows where they are. So for all of us, it's just being available, being ready. Get the copy of Jewish Jesus. If we haven't got them here, we've got some at Rofi for you guys to buy and to give. And Clive and I have been doing that as God's led us, because it's time for them. It's time for Israel, and it's time for this nation to stand up in that role. Amen. Okay, so Clive's going to come and finish off, and then we're going to respond and pray.
That was on it, wasn't it? Little dynamo, my wife. Brilliant. It's amazing. I was just sitting there thinking when we first met over 30 years ago, Jane just got saved. Then I was thinking, wow, she's like full of life and fire and blah. Now, sorry, it was just a personal thing. I thought it was just going on in my mind. I was like, well, right. Because of the time, we want to really get into some, just worshiping and praying in a few minutes. But you can hear from what James just been sharing, God's passion. You know, sometimes when we get passionate ourselves, it's because it's the passion of God that is rising up on the inside of us. It's not just an emotional exuberance or excitement. It's something of the Holy Spirit that is working in somebody. And you've just heard that passion that is in there that James has been speaking about. Just want to share for about 5 minutes a couple of things following on from what she was saying. There's a lot more that God spoke to us about while we were away, and maybe we'll come to that other weeks. But just in John 17, right at the beginning of that chapter, it says here, after Jesus had said this, after he'd been speaking about he was going to be going and leaving them, the disciples and all of that kind of stuff, he said he looked towards heaven and prayed. And he said, Father, the time has come. And at the beginning of the year, God spoke to us and said, it's time. This year's about it's time. Jesus said, the time has come. What did the time had come for? To glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now, what is God's glory? It's God's light being revealed. It's God himself being revealed. So Jesus said here, the time has come, glorify your Son. Let your Son be seen so that your Son may glorify you. Then he went into the rest of John 17 is where he prays. He prays for the disciples. He prays for the future believers, which is us guys sitting in this room now. Then at the end of that chapter, going into chapter 18, it then says this, the first line, when he had finished praying. When he had finished praying. Now, in order to finish praying, you have to start praying in the first place. In order to start praying, you need to know what to pray. And so that you know what, when you know what to pray and you begin to pray that, you then get to the point where the Holy Spirit shows you, right, I have finished what I've wanted you to do in prayer. What happened next? It says here, when he had finished praying, Jesus left. So he wasn't going to go anywhere until he'd finished praying. One of the things that God is speaking to us about, and Pastor Colin was speaking about this last week, it was a phenomenal message last week. That he brought. I was in Crawley, but listen to it. And God is speaking to us about prayer, about militancy in prayer, about a breaking through in prayer. Now, any season that we have with God, there's always a purpose to that season. In every season, there's always some kind of commission from God in that season. And when God commissions whatever he wants to do in that season, he speaks to us about what he wants to accomplish, what his purpose is. And therefore, in that season, our lives then need to fit and adjust around what his commission is for that season. It's not for us to say, well, God, that's great, and I'll fit you in to my what I'm doing here when it suits me. It's God speaks to his church, you and I, and he says, this is what I am doing on the earth right now. This is what I'm doing at this moment, and my church need to adjust and fit with what I am doing on the earth. So we need ears to hear and ready spirits to respond. And one of those things, as we heard last week and the previous few weeks as well, is this militancy in prayer. And one of the things God spoke to me about was that out of that one little sentence, when he had finished praying. And he spoke to me and he said, Clive, how often do you finish praying before you finished praying? Or put it this way, how often do you stop praying before you finished praying? Do you really allow me to pray through you until in that moment, job done for this moment, now you can leave and get on with whatever you need to do? But how often do you stop before I have finished in that sense? And I believe God is speaking to us in this autumn season, running up to the new year, saying that
He wants to give, we've got to give ourselves in prayer during this autumn season, okay? And the first 7 days of each month, we've said, is 24/7 prayer. If I could just be honest with you at the moment, that during this year, it's become less and less, that 24/7 prayer. So when we speak about these things, it's not something we should do. It's what is God, what is happening in us in response to what God is saying. So the prayer is not just prayer in and of itself. What does prayer do? Prayer unlocks the purposes of God. One of the things God's speaking to us about is prayer resists the enemy. Prayer overcomes the darkness. Prayer shuts the enemy down. But also prayer releases the purposes of God. If we want to see more take place, we need to engage our lives, our hearts, our spirits in what God is saying, which is to, we got to finish praying when God has finished praying in us. Are you with me? So the Impact prayer meeting the other week in all three congregations was the poorest turnout we've ever had. Just to let you know. In Worthing, five people turned up, apart from the leaders and one or two people on the team, staff team. In Crawley, 10 people turned up. In Horsham, 10 people turned up, apart from any kind of staff team people, right? That's pretty poor, isn't it? So if God's calling us to pray and we all think I've got something else to do, there is just stuff is not going to happen around here. I'm sorry if we're just honest this morning. So Jane's like, was I telling you off? No, that's my job this morning, okay? So this is the shepherd, if you like, just getting the staff out and saying a little bit. Hey guys, we got to stand up in the spirit here. There's a war going on out there for our nation. There's a war going out for our 25-mile radius. The enemy is laughing at our nation at the moment with all the stuff that's going on and all the things that are happening. And you and I, we as the church and other churches, we have the power in us, in our lives, the Holy Spirit, that can transform and change lives, families, households, communities, cities, towns, nations, regions. Does anybody believe that in here? Because we've got to go in a direction where our flesh absolutely hates it. And more your flesh is going to hate where we're going to have to go as Christians because of the day that we're living in. This is not a dour message. This is, hey, church, come on, guys. It's time to rise. It's time to be who God's called us to be. So 1st to the 7th of October, this isn't an advert for 24/7 prayer. This is us saying, hey, come on, let's dig in. Let's dig in for our family members, our work colleagues, people that we know, people that our town that we live in. As we heard from Pastor Colin, the depraved, and the four words that he had, those in depravity, those in whatever it was, and the sickness and everything else that he was talking about. Let's dig deep. Let's dig deep. Let's dig deep and let's pray. I know practically sometimes people can't be at things and that's fine, but it's when we make a choice. Oh, I'm going to do something else. And we talk about an impact prayer meeting and we say, yeah, other people do that. I don't go to those. We're a body here. If we're not together in things, there's stuff that's missing and lacking because we want to be together whenever it might be, whether it's that or a Sunday or a small group, wherever, because your life matters, your faith matters, your prayer matters, your finance, everything matters in terms of who we are and what God is doing. Last thing, because we need to worship and whatnot. Last thing, well-known story in 1 Kings 18 and 19, where Elijah has just defeated the 400 Baal prophets. Know that story? There'd been a bit of a showdown on Mount Carmel, and he challenged the 400 Baal prophets, and they were praying their heads off, and nothing happened. They were cutting themselves and all sorts, and their God didn't turn up and do anything. Then he stands there, and he says, come on, God, reveal who you are, and he burns up the altars and all of that kind of stuff. So he has an amazing victory, but then he says to Ahab, who's the king at the time, who was not a godly guy, okay, the king at the time, he says to him, he says, you go and eat and drink. And then he says, because I hear the sound of heavy rain. Now, Ahab was not a godly guy. He wasn't in tune with the Spirit. And so he's like, this guy's not going to understand this. So why don't you go and do what you normally do? You go and eat and drink. Do what you normally do. There's something else I've got to go and do now. Because he had something kicking off in his spirit. He heard something in the spirit. God is about to release something. And rather than him going to do what he normally does, I'm going to be out of tune with God and go and do my normal thing or a natural thing. What I need to do, I need to give myself now to what the Holy Spirit wants to release in the nation at this moment. And although it was natural rain in that scenario, because it hadn't rained for 3.5 years at that moment, at his word 3.5 years earlier that God had given him to speak, then he gets on the inside of his spirit. There's the sound of heavy rain. Now, there wasn't a cloud in sight. Everything was blue sky. It looked great. He went up to the mountain. It says he bent over, put his head between his knees. I'm not saying you have to pray like that. He did at that moment. But he put his head between his knees and he began to intercede because he wanted to pray through till there was a release of what God, what he had on the inside of him. So just having something on the inside of you is not enough for there to be a release of God in your life. We can all pick up the signs of the times. We can all sense what is the Holy Spirit doing. Everybody in the room here as the Holy Spirit can be, this is what God's doing at the moment. That's not enough. Because Elijah had whatever he had. There's the sound of heavy rain. He could then have said, come on, Ahab, let's go and have lunch. Let's go and do something else to fill our time. Whereas actually, he said, no, I'm picking up something on the inside. My spiritual radar is going, God's about to release something. God's about to, I now need to go and pray that release into being. And that's what we're doing this autumn. We're praying release into being. We're praying breakthrough into, now what does that mean? Nothing's going to happen to the new year? No. But as we see release, things will begin to happen and increase and accelerate around our lives. But God's not going to do it just through a handful of people. God's not just going to say, well, you guys, I'll do it through you. No, God's speaking to us as a body. So he begins to pray. 6 times the servant, he sends the servant. Is there a cloud? Is there any rain coming yet? 6 times the bloke comes back and he says to Elijah, no, there's nothing there. But he keeps going because he knows what's on the inside is more real than what he can see on the outside. And then the 7th time he comes back, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand on the horizon. That was enough for Elijah. That's it. Then he got up. And he tucked his cloak in. What on earth does that mean for us? God wants to make sure that everything in our lives is tucked in. The belt of truth, right? So we want our lives to be fully tucked in so there's nothing flapping around in our lives that can hinder what God wants to do. Because the next thing that happened is the Holy Spirit came on him, the power of God came on him, and then he ran ahead of Ahab. So Ahab's moving in the natural in his chariot with his horses. He's had his lunch, his Burger King or whatever he had. And then Elijah comes and he runs past this guy because the power of God is on him. But he made sure everything was in place. So God is working in our lives. My breakfast all over me, thing there. God is working in our lives so that we move in the power of God. You then follow the story through. Ultimately, things happen in the nation. And then there's a whole succession of Elisha, the next generation, and everything that God raises up and does through him. And so God wants us to reach into the next generation even more than we have been. That got a hearty amen. He wants us to reach into the next generation even more than we have been, because the devil wants to take every generation out. If he can get our 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds now, 6-year-olds, so that they grow up thinking that non-gender whatever is totally okay. It's all right for this, all right for that, all right for the other, and all the sort of stuff that's going on. What is becoming normal in our thinking as a generation is growing now. And you know what happens? Every generation that settles with the one thing, it goes even further in the next. Why? Because the enemy knows if I can grab a generation, get a certain mindset going in that generation, and that becomes the norm in that generation, then when somebody comes with something different like you and I, we're seen as weird, over the top, we've got a bad attitude, we're just negative and all that kind of stuff. And so we want to get out there with the gospel, not on a soapbox, by faith but with love, right? God's going to open up situations to speak to people, be a voice in all kinds of different levels, in the workplace, in society, in parliament, local government, wherever God puts any of us and leads any of us. But we're living in a day where the enemy is trying to, as James said, shut us down, put a blanket on, that the norm, everything, so there's no arguments anymore. It's just, well, that's okay if that's what they want to be, or that's what they want to do, or they want to behave or act like that. That's totally normal, fine. You can't say anything about that and all of that kind of stuff. Tolerance is okay as long as I agree with you. That's where our society's going. That's what tolerance really means in our society. I'll be tolerant towards you as long as I agree with what you're saying to me. If I don't, I won't be tolerant. And it means the opposite these days to what it really means. So we're not here just to fit in. We're here to actually shape. The church is here to shape what's going on. And that looks like, at the moment, in the natural, a couple of guys on the edge of the promised land looking at the giants in the land saying, it's all right you shouting that from the platform, but is that going to be possible? Well, unless we believe, it won't be. Because without faith, nothing is possible. Everything becomes impossible. So how many people of faith do we have in the place here? Okay, now in this autumn time, we are going to have some weeks where we do some real practical stuff on how are we people of light? What is the gospel? How do we share the gospel? How do we do certain things? There's a small group that the Crouches are leading during this semester, this autumn period, really about the questions that people ask, some of the key issues that people ask, and some of the challenges like, what about suffering? Isn't just being a good person enough to get me to heaven? Hasn't science disproved the need for the Bible? The Muslim faith, why is that different to Christianity? What is, and there's various topics they're covering that are really practical on how do I communicate what I believe? What do I believe in the first place? But then how do I communicate that? And how can I be a witness more effectively? There's booklets that we have out in the info point out there on different subjects you can get that are going to resource you how to be a person of light. How can I communicate what I believe? How do I understand what others believe and therefore then communicate the gospel in a way that the Holy Spirit really speaks into people's lives? Are you ready for some of that? So you can still sign up for that small group if you want to sign up. Ask at the info point or see those guys. They're sitting here if you want to just raise your hands. They're sitting there. Go and speak to Jonathan and Katie. If you want to be part of that small, it's an equipping small group to help you be an effective witness in your life and in your world. So let's stand to our feet, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.